The Bill Shakespeare Project presents This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending Monday, March the 21st, 2016. Hola, Bartophiles, and welcome to the 95th episode of This Week in Shakespeare, a podcast brought to you by the Bill Shakespeare Project. This is our weekly opportunity to let you know about the latest and greatest in Willie Shakespeare headlines coming at you every Tuesday. The goal here is to hit you quick blast, no more than 10 minutes tops, of Bard-related news. Plus, we'll try to serve up some historical dates for what were the past 7 days of the year. So, this week's news stories included, The Guardian was one of many media outlets to cover the upcoming auction of Charlton Heston's possessions in Los Angeles, including a trove of rare Shakespeare folios and movie props and statues. The Guardian was one of many media outlets to run stories on the release of newly digitized texts, including a page of the play Sir Thomas More, written in Shakespeare's own hand. Though the play isn't his, he was a contributor, and his contribution is a pretty incredible speech in support of refugees. Slate also covered the story, including a video of Ian McKellen reciting the speech. Great, great stuff. Business Insider ran one of those stories we see every couple of months that discusses how some of our common idioms come from Shakespeare. Houston Public Media ran an interview with an educator who uses social media interfaces to teach Shakespeare. U.S. News & World Report previewed the upcoming sale of 4 first folios by Christie's Auction House in late May in London. Theater Mania ran the announcement by Actors Shakespeare Project of their 2016-17 season, including Hamlet, The Tempest, and Midsummer. The project is out of Boston, Massachusetts. The Independent ran another of their retrospective pieces, this one by the editor of the London Times Literary Supplement, saying, "The pleasure of reading Shakespeare trumps watching his plays," and then admitting that he's only seen one play. Kind of skews your data sample, don't you think? Another Independent piece focuses on the enduring topicality of Othello, basing it on the concept of being an outsider. CTV out of Canada ran an interesting think piece on how the character of Ariel in The Tempest offers insights into the experience of life as a modern-day trans person. Tech Times ran a story on the upcoming game Elsinore, which will be released in the fall after a successful Kickstarter campaign. Its premise is pretty cool. In it, you'll be playing Ophelia, a Danish noblewoman who one night woke up from her slumber plagued by a terrible vision that everyone living at Elsinore Castle will die in 4 days. She later realizes that she's stuck in a time loop. Think Groundhog Day with a looming tragedy, forced to relive those 4 days over and over until she's able to change the future. The San Diego Union-Tribune ran the fascinating story of the introducing of the starling species of bird into the U.S. as one fan tried to import every type of bird found in Shakespeare. The results have been, well, damaging. The always reliable Oxford University Press blog ran another great think piece on translating Shakespeare, not into modern English, but into other languages. Good, smart read. The Guardian ran a story that isn't news to anyone who's been with us for our discussion of Othello for the past few months, a look at the visiting Moroccan ambassador who may have been the model for Shakespeare's Moor. The BBC had a neat little piece titled, "Where Did Shakespeare Go on Tour?" that discusses that question, as well as what were the obstacles both at home and on the road for Shakespeare and his company. Fun stuff. The Tampa Tribune previewed runs of Richard III and Much Ado About Nothing by the Tampa Shakespeare Festival through early April in Florida. The Prague Post in the Czech Republic previewed the upcoming production of Richard II by Prague Shakespeare Company, done as a one-man show with puppets. It's part of their attempt to present every play in this anniversary year, and it will run through the 2nd of April. And finally, Reviewing Shakespeare reviewed Romeo and Julia by Aura of Puppets and Tedros Teatri in Finland. The public show set in a garbage dump has some compelling moments, but is found to be off-putting. Sounds interesting. And on a purely personal note, this past weekend, my son Kyle swam at the Division III NCAA Swimming Championships in Greensboro, North Carolina, and he is now your national champion in the 100-yard breaststroke. And if that isn't cool enough for you, 2 days later, he swam in a time trial, and his time was good enough to qualify him to go to the U.S. Olympic team trials. He has no illusions of being in the Olympics. He just wants to be able to sit on the couch, raise a glass, and say, I swam against that guy. And both myself and my wife and his brother are very proud of him. Very proud indeed. Now let's take a look back on the last 7 days and how they relate to Shakespearean history, both his and the history in his plays. March 15th is the Ides of March, baby. The Ides were the midpoint of the month, and of course the Ides of March kind of sort of play a big part in Julius Caesar. On March 16th, 1485, Anne Neville, that Lady Anne that Richard III married, died. She was the daughter of Richard Neville, 16th Earl of Warwick, also known as the Kingmaker. She married Edward, Prince of Wales, the son of Henry VI, but he was killed at the Battle of Tewkesbury, depending on the story you believe, either by George, Duke of Clarence, or all the York boys. She would then marry Richard, Duke of Gloucester, which made her Queen of England when he became King Richard III. She died some 5 months before he did at the Battle of Bosworth Field, though she probably died of tuberculosis. Rumors were circulated and later picked up by Shakespeare that Richard was behind her death. 2 days of note for March 17th. In 1473, James IV, King of Scots, was born. He was the great-grandfather of the future King of England, James I, also known as James VI of Scotland. Also on this date, in 1967, Chimes at Midnight, the Falstaff movie starring and directed by Orson Welles, taken from the second tetralogy, as well as a line or two from Merry Wives, as well as Holinshed, was finally released in the U.S. I say finally because it was shot in 1964 and 65, and had been premiered at Cannes in 1966. Also, on March 17th, 1058, Lulac, King of Scotland, died. In the history of Scotland, as opposed to Shakespeare's version, Lulac was the son of Lady Macbeth by an earlier marriage. Thus, he was Macbeth's stepson, who succeeded Macbeth after his death at the Battle of Lumphanan in August 1057. He was assassinated and his crown usurped by Malcolm, son of Duncan, only a few months later. Events completely ignored by Shakespeare. On March 18th, 1496, Mary Tudor was born. She was daughter of Henry VII and became queen consort of Louis XII of France. She later married Charles Brandon, 1st Duke of Suffolk, and through him was the maternal grandmother of Lady Jane Grey, who ruled for about a week in 1553. On March 19th, 1930, Paul Robeson became the first black actor to play Othello in a century when his Othello opened on Broadway at the Savoy Theater. His portrayal has been said to be one of the greatest of the 20th century. On March 20th, 1413, King Richard IV died at the age of 45. The former Henry Bolingbroke, his rise to power was depicted in Richard II, his reign and the Percy Rebellion in the first part of Henry IV, and his death in the second part of Henry IV. March the 20th also marks the birthday of the love of my life, my wife Lisa. On March 21st, 1925, famed English theatrical director of Shakespeare Peter Brook was born. He has directed Hamlets with Adrian Lester and Paul Scofield, who also played Lear for Brook. He also directed John Gielgud in both Measure for Measure and The Winter's Tale, and Laurence Olivier in Titus Andronicus. These last three were part of his stint at the Royal Shakespeare Company in the 1950s. And that, my friends, was your very busy week in Shakespeare. You've been listening to the Bill Shakespeare Project presentation of This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending March the 21st, 2016. For our blog and previous TWIZ episodes, including links to the news stories we've covered, as well as the real Bill Shakespeare Project podcast, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com. And we'll catch you next week.